So this morning I woke up thinking about the city as a poem, because I was reading The Practice of Everyday Life by Michel de Certeau, and in one of the chapters he's talking about walking in a city, and he's saying that walking in a city is like reading a text. And I really like that because I do a lot of walking, and it was interesting to think about walking as a mental process, which it is, but also reading as a physical process. I think I might be turning into a worst-case scenario type of person. But I'm trying not to shy away from it, whatever it is, a subtle darkness maybe. But I think what I'm understanding is that it's only through imagining the worst that I can most effectively work towards the best. So it's part of the process. It's part of the process of getting to the best case scenario. I'm thinking about going vertical. Imagine if you were a giant, or maybe that's too hard. So imagine if you had a very large pair of stilts and you could regard everything from this high view. I spent a lot of time looking up, and it occurred to me how good it might be just to be able to turn that perspective around. This morning at breakfast, I was watching my 6-year-old son eat a bowl of Cheerios, and I felt compelled to ask him what he thought space was made of. And he said, "Nothing. It's just your own personal body. Space is just your body bubble. It's movement and oxygen." And I thought, huh. So I was in a conversation the other day, and someone was talking about the question of, you know, what do you want your audience to leave with at the end of the performance, and the implications of a kind of responsibility to the audience. And I thought, I don't want to be responsible for what my audience takes away, or I don't want to be solely responsible. I'd like us to all be responsible for the making of meaning. So spring comes quickly around these parts, and with it the desire to be outside. Gaston Bachelard talks about the dialectics of outside and inside in his book The Poetics of Space, and I started thinking about outside and inside in creating work, and how these two ideas are dripping with a tone or a feeling. And I like that even if you are inside watching a performance, and there's nothing in the space, if they tell you that you're outside, you know how that works. So I was in this discussion last week with an intergenerational room of performance makers, and the young ones were talking about this work they had made where the central premise riffed off this idea of, I don't want to be like this. And the discussion was really good, and some of the old ones were a bit harsh. And afterwards, I talked to some of them, and I said that, you know, my generation's version of that central premise would have been, I want to be like this. We didn't have the don't. So this is kind of a niggling thought. I'm afraid of dramaturgy. That is, I'm afraid that dramaturgy is somehow becoming homogenized. Oh, you just need some dramaturgy. That'll fix everything. And I know from having conversations with many fine dramaturgs that it's kind of difficult to define what dramaturgy is. They can define their own processes well enough, but as a big idea, it's kind of hard to pin it down. And it's much cooler if it isn't pinned down. In the past 3 months, I've had a couple of embarrassing moments. And you know the kind of haunting you can get around moments like this? Well, when that happens, I try to remember what Anne Bogart says about embarrassment. She talks about it as a necessary leap, And she says, and this is a quote, "Embarrassment is a partner in the creative act, a key collaborator. If your work does not sufficiently embarrass you, then very likely no one will be touched by it."